Today's reading is from Colossians 1, verses 3 to 14. You can find that on page 1182. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and the love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
When you get today's modern cars back from their annual service, I think it's quite disappointing, really. The car is exactly the same as it was when you sent it off. It doesn't feel any different or drive any different because they're all self-adjusting these days, aren't they? Well, years ago, Lynn and I had an ancient Vauxhall Astra. And as the year went on, it used to get noisier and noisier. And the engine so clattered as you drove down the road that you would see people on the pavement stop their conversations and turn round and look to see if it was a tank coming. But after the annual service, it was tuned up. The rattles were gone, the engine was tight, and when you pushed the clutch or pulled the handbrake, you could tell that it was better. This was how a Vauxhall Astra was meant to be. Though actually, it was still quite noisy even then. What I want us to do in the first 4 or 5 weeks of this term is to do a tune-up of our church and our lives, to remind us what we're here for and the core values that inform our shared life together. Let's retune the engine and sharpen our vision and our values. And you'll see you've got a little outline there, and on the top of the outline, our logo and strap line says St. Francis, believing in our community. First of all, that means that we want to be an outward-focused church. We believe in valuing the community around us. God loves those who don't yet know him, and we're to be out adding value to our communities. Those we connect with day by day at work, in our neighbourhoods and city. We're not to hide away in the safety of our church, but to step out and invest in the community around us. We believe in our community. But as we go out, we need to be different, distinctive. If we're to cut any ice, we have to go out as believing people in our community. We are people of faith, believing in a mighty God. And so we are believing in our community, shining with the light and power of God. And if we're to do that, we need to be tuned in to God and tuned up in our Christian lives. And today we start by looking at the first of our four key values at St. Francis. We aim to be a church that is Christ-centred, grounded in God's word and empowered by his Spirit, a place where hearts and minds are touched and challenged by the transforming presence of God. Well, let's have a look at God's word, which of course is where our values come from. Colossians 1 verse 3, Paul says this: We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. Paul sees that they have a heavenly perspective. And Paul gives thanks to God for his friends at Colossae. Paul's always giving thanks, isn't he? Everything he says and does comes from a thankful heart. Are you like that? Are you always seeking out something to thank God for? Well, Paul was. What an example he sets. And that's a good start for our tune-up. Be ever thankful, grateful, worshipful, positive, hopeful. That's what we want to be. And he's thanking God first for their faith. He has heard about their faith, so this is not just an internal faith that they hold privately. They have been living it out. Paul has heard of their good reputation. They're not just talking about God, they are walking with God. They are living it out in action. So he gives thanks to God for their faith and then their love, verse 4. We have heard of your faith and of the love that you have for all God's people. All God's people. So that includes loving people who perhaps aren't like you or you don't click with in church. Love, it's an act of will. There's another challenge for our tune-up. Jesus says, you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Quite a challenge. So we've got faith, love, and then hope. Verse 4 and 5. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems the wrong way round to me. How can faith and love now spring from heaven to come? How does that work? Well, it's not just that we live our lives here. That's the main event. And then there's the hope of heaven afterwards, just sort of tacked on. No, the weight given in the Bible is quite different. Our lives here are to be seen in the light of an eternal heaven. That's the main event. That's what should fill our horizons and govern our thinking and inform our decisions here and now. Imagine yourself in heaven, looking back on your life, reviewing how you lived it. From the perspective of heaven, some things will be less important than the importance that you gave them in life. Other things will stand out as having had a heavenly priority and value, an eternal significance. It's a bit like we're to have a pair of these. These are 3D spectacles that you wear in the cinema. I just put them on. And we put on these heavenly glasses and we look at our world. We see heavenly things in 3D, but earthly stuff as flat in 2 dimensions. The earthbound stuff is not necessarily wrong, it's just not important, not worth investing in. It doesn't fulfil. So we need heavenly glasses to look at our lives. So where do we get these heavenly glasses that help us to retune our lives to God's heavenly kingdom life, God's heavenly perspective? Well, first we must be grounded in God's word, the Bible. And then we will see God's heavenly priorities for our earthly lives. How do you read the Bible? Do you do it daily? Feed on God's word? We all have busy lives, don't we? And it's especially difficult with young children. But it doesn't need to be hours of study. Just a few minutes every day and you'll retune your heavenly focus and ground your faith in Jesus. That's what we want to do. I think one of the main reasons why people give up reading the Bible or find it difficult is because their reading is too shallow. One way to more depth is to read a few verses really carefully and intensely. And I've just modelled that for you in the way that we've read verses 3 to 5 in this passage. In our daily Bible reading, we could have read over verse 5 about faith and love springing from the hope stored up for you in heaven and gone on to the rest of the passage without asking, what does that mean? One way to attend to a small passage of scripture is to read it every day, the same bit, for a week. Another is to write it out in your own words. Another is to imagine yourself into the story or the parable. Sometimes it's good to read big chunks of scripture and to get an overview of the message. And when you read it, think, is there somewhere else that the Bible speaks about this? Make notes in the margin if there is, and some Bibles have cross-references to help you do that. It's great to write notes in your Bible, underline passages, make a note where there are connections. And it's great when people bring their own Bibles to church to do that, or make notes on their iPad or on their phone versions of the Bible. It's not necessarily that you'll even read these notes again. It just helps you follow and take deeper what's said. We really do work hard to teach the Bible here at St. Francis. And when you've prepared a talk, it's great encouragement to see people taking notes so that your efforts are being received and not just forgotten. And you can listen again, of course, to the talks on the website and sit at home and take notes as you listen. Paul says, verse 6, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world. So let's retune. Let's be grounded in God's word. So we're to be grounded in God's word, but also empowered by his Spirit. Verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all might according to his all power according to his glorious might. As we read God's word, as we seek God in prayer, as we ask for his prompts in our decisions, when through the Holy Spirit God reveals us his will and his power to fulfil his will. And you know, this is how we see the gap in our lives between how we are now and where we should be and where we want to be. But it's crucial to understand that we cannot change ourselves. When we see that gap, when we long to be something different, we need God to help us. We can't change ourselves. That would be like asking my Vauxhall Astra to do its own service. No, it's God that retunes us. His presence, his Holy Spirit, is there to transform us. So we aim to be a church that is Christ-centred, grounded in God's word and empowered by his Spirit. A place where hearts and minds are touched and challenged by the transforming presence of God. Are you thirsty for God's presence? Are you wanting more of his transformation in your life? Maybe the two-dimensional earthly things have pushed out the three-dimensional heavenly priorities. Maybe there are things that you know aren't right, but you just don't seem to be able to conquer them. Are you trying to do your own service, your own retune? Let God work on you. It's his work. It's his power that makes a difference. Let's stand together. Let's ask for God's power just to come and to touch us, to retune us, to show us the things that need to change. So we pray for God's Spirit. May we put on those heavenly spectacles. Come, Holy Spirit. Come amongst us, Lord. We're open. We're ready.